Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Okay, so where are your Bibles? Just grab your Bibles. Thank you, Jesus, for your Bibles, right? If you have it on your phone, grab your phone or grab your Bible and follow along. We have scriptures on the overhead, but follow along. Get a pen out and mark those scriptures. Walk away with at least one, okay, that you make a big circle and say, this is mine, I'm taking it home with me. Why is this message of love so important? Let me just do a little journey as I spend time with God. Let me just take you with me for a couple minutes here. Why is this such an important message? The message on love. Listen, we know that God is love. We say that. We believe that, but we need a fresh revelation of what that really is. If we say that God is love, then this calls us closer and say, the closer we get to this, the closer we get to God. God is love. We also have told you it's the greatest power in the universe. And for us as believers, we are invited to become part of it. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible that the great God of the universe invites you and invites me to become part of that power? He says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can now live in me and it will quicken my mortal body. This is powerful stuff. It is all about God, and the true heart of this message is how big is God inside of you? And how big is God inside of me? Because let us just be honest. There are times and seasons that we feel far removed from God. They are not that we are, we feel. There are times and seasons we are with God, we pray more, we study more. There are times and seasons that we feel we are lacking in so many ways. But listen. How big is God inside of us? Here we have an invitation of the creator of the universe invites us to have greatness called love. Think about it. We saw that video last week. The creator of the universe is saying, come, take part in this power. It's like the president of the United States sending you an invitation and say, come on, I want you and your family to move into the White House. You will just fall over half dead, right? But here's the God of the universe, created the universe, and he says, come on, live with me in this great power. The one who holds back the oceans invites us to that greatness. How many of you have stared at the ocean and realized how massive this is? Masses and masses and masses of water functioning on the cycle of the moon, holding back itself, not flooding the earth. How incredible is that? And the maker of that says, come on, I want to share with you in this amazing power. Check this out. I have a picture. And you may think, okay, she's starting with the sperm and the egg. Where in the world is she going to end? It's like starting in Genesis. Okay, I have a picture for you. Let me see if they can. Okay, it's a little distorted. But, all right, I brought you today your first snapshot of your life. That one. How great is this God that's an egg and a sperm? How great is this God that molded us and formed us together in our mother's womb? From once two cells, all you medical people in here, two cells that came together. And some scientists say it takes 20 or 30 seconds, that cell technically becomes one cell. And then it starts to do things within that one cell. And it starts to multiply. And it starts to form a cluster of cells that are similar, like same cells. And then suddenly, the cells started to differentiate. The one, or some of them, start forming lung cells, some start forming bone cells, some start forming eye cells, some start forming whatever the message is, that when you're in puberty, to start ovulating and start your menstrual cycle. It's all in there. All in there is the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, the way you walk, the way you talk, the traits that you carry. Is that mind-blowing? And then there's the baby from that to that. And it just boggles my mind. I have medical people in my life, and I ask them, in studying, a lifetime of studying the human body, what to use the most amazing. To me, it is that imprint of the color of my eyes, you know. It's just like, okay, I'm out of this. I can't think. But here is what my son-in-law, he was saying, the heart is extraordinary, especially in its development, how it starts in utero as a hollow tube that folds into four distinct chambers suddenly without any hands on it, and it begins to beat. I mean, how amazing is that? And that same heart now starts beating. And when you get scared as an adult, it starts going like this. When you are stressful, it starts going like this. Here's another one. My daughter was saying the eye sends electrical impulses to the back of the brain, electrical impulses, that organizes light in the right way to go to the brain and let you see a picture. How is that even possible? This God is inviting you and is inviting me. He says, come. I have all the power. Look at the sun. I won't bore you. I just been looking at the sun for days because it's just, I found some new pictures that NASA posted about the sun. Can we get the, oh my goodness, look at that. The maker of the sun invites us to eternal life with him. The sun burns at up to 30 million degrees Fahrenheit at the core. You know, it's not a solid, it's a ball of radioactive gas. But yet it delivers the exact rays our bodies need to produce 10,000 universal units of vitamin D after the sun touches our body for about 10 or 20 minutes in the middle of the day. Your body takes the sun, and there's a chemical reaction that turns it into vitamin D. And that vitamin D protects you from heart disease, diabetes, and a multitude. Studies have shown a shortage of vitamin D in your body. You are twice as likely to die young. So let's all go find the sun. California, we don't have an issue with that. You know? The ultraviolet rays hit the skin in just the right way for that chemical reaction to take place. The same God breathed life into dust and gave it power and eternity to connect to him. And this is love. God is love, the greatest power in the universe. And he says, daughter, come, come. I got you covered. Oh man, I'm good. I don't know about you, but I'm good. This God saying to me, daughter, I've got you covered. Come experience my love. Come, let me show you my love so that you can bring forth. It offers us the doorway, ladies, into the most meaningful, successful, and powerful life there is on earth, and that is through love. In the world systems, that is weakness. Because dog eat dog, you trample on everything and anybody to get to where you need to go. The systems of this world are under the sway of Satan. It functions on a different level. So sometimes when you show love and meekness, kindness, all these things that we learn, the world may read it as weakness. But what a lie, because functioning in love is the highest form of living. Listen. functioning, moving, walking, accepting, living through, accepting the love of God is the greatest form of human life that we can ever experience. If we shine this, if we do this, God says we have all power has been given to us, and it is through love. But we have issues. Anybody in here that says, I ain't got no issues? It's not, you know, God is so perfect. It's not like God speaks only sometimes. When God speaks one time, those words and the power in those words never, ever, ever, ever goes away. So God speaks every minute, every second of your breathing life here on earth. It's like, God, you don't speak to me. And he says, come closer. You're a little bit out of the reception area there. And it's like, can you hear me now, God? Can you hear me now? But I'm dabbling with sin right here. And can you hear me? No, God. I've tried God and he doesn't work. God is always speaking. Some of you need to take that home. God is always speaking, whether you wash your dishes, drive your car, your husband is yelling at you, you get fired from your job. God is always speaking. So let's line ourselves up and see what God is saying. And he says, this is a commandment, ladies. This is not a suggestion. Love is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Matthew 22 calls it the great commandment to love God, love each other. John 13 calls it a new commandment. I give you to love. You know, loving God and seeing how wonderful he is beautiful and one thing. And then it comes home to us and says, now we have to love one another. And it's like, oh, oops. But I don't like her. I don't like him. I've lived with him for 30 years. I still don't like him. It's like, stop it. God is commanding us to love one another. But you know what? These things that we've been learning about love in 1 Corinthians 13, about the rudeness and love is all these things and love is not. Sometimes we are not aware of living outside of the love of God in our lives. Two things, the word of God and a good friend. You need somebody who can tell you spinach in your teeth, you know? And then the word of God. This is what we need. Sometimes these things live in our blind spot, our weaknesses. I may have a rudeness about me. I may covet and be jealous. I may do some of these things and not living in love. But I'm not aware of it. It's a blind spot. Sometimes we have blind spots in our life, and it takes the word of God to put that mirror in front of you. And it's like, oh my gosh, is that really me? And it really, truly is. You know how dangerous it is to go on the freeway, change lanes. How many of you had that blind spot experience? My brother recently had a motorcycle accident. He was on a motorcycle with his wife, and he was in somebody's blind spot. He's alive, and she is, but didn't end so well. That blind spot business is dangerous. It can take you out. So let's look at it. What are the symptoms? Let's look at some symptoms. And you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. What are the symptoms of lovelessness, according to Paul? You talk, but you don't get any respect. Anybody ever wondered about that? No one takes you seriously. You're just making noise. You do a lot of good things, but not connecting with God in a real way. You are impatient, rude, jealous, bragging, selfish, getting ticked off, okay? Pondering revenge, telling people, I told you so. None of us do that in here. Little or no commitment. It's just like, you can ask me whatever you want, but don't expect me to say yes. One day I like you, the next day I don't. We've all experienced this. Our scripture is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4b. We're going to deal with this now. Love does not envy, parade itself, and is puffed up. We're going to look at those three things. Anybody saying, ouch? It's like this is not necessarily feel good, you know? It's just like, and if you're sitting there, listen, if you're sitting there, all of us, and you wonder, is this message for me? That is a sure thing. It is for you. If you think, no, I got this. I got this. Okay, that is really then for you. It's really a message for all of us because we find Paul talking to the church in Corinth, and boy, were they messed up. It's easy for us to look at them, sexual immorality, they did all these crazy things. But you know, it's not much different from the church today. This message is still good for the church today. This word envy, it means covet, desire. The root word is zeloo, for jealous or zealous, burning with desire, but in a negative way, is envy. We see this word in the Bible. I'm just going to talk a little bit about envy, and then we're going to deal with parade itself and puffed up, and then look at what does the Bible say? How do we actually function in this? So I have a little picture here that I thought it's the best picture I could find that shows envy. I mean, if you could identify with that. You know, we get bigger, but we never grow up. It's like, say what? What about me? You know, that little girl's face, he's just oblivious. He's got sugar in his mouth. But she is saying a lot of things with that little face. Let's look at Acts 7, verse 9. We find this word, envy, that we're talking about. And the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. Do you remember the story? Of Joseph being his father's favorite son. He had the bright clothes, he had the favor, and he had all these brothers looking at him, being envious. So they sold him, but God was with him and delivered him out of all the troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Okay. Let's look at this story just for a second here. Here's Joseph and here's his brothers. There's envy. They sold him into slavery. When do you think this little thing about the jealousy started? It was not the day they sold him into slavery. They probably lived with it all their life. Can you imagine? This little boy, some of you say, yeah, I have a favorite sibling also in my house. That could be a total lie, but you're God's favorite, you know? So let's just settle that. But here's Joseph and his brothers. Man, they just hated him. What did Joseph do? Joseph was just Joseph. He did not do anything to deserve this necessarily. But because he was his father's favorite, his brothers were envious of him. Now just imagine this life of envy in this family. Brought division. Where God meant for there to be love, there was envy that ended up in a father mourning the death of his own son. There is probably no pain as deep as that pain. But just look at the destruction of relationships, the destruction of God's plan. Now put yourself in Joseph's shoes. He never took things in his own hands, okay? But the brothers decided, we're going to fix this. Envy and jealousy made them do something that was totally out of God's will. The Bible calls it sin because they decided, we're going to fix this. We are going to a point of murder. Well, they didn't murder him, but they sold him. They wanted to kill him. We're just going to get rid of him. How about Joseph? He had strong favor. He suffered their wrath. Envy destroyed them. Now listen, let's just bring it home a little bit. What does this have to do with you? What does this have to do with me? What is there in your life that you have not settled, that you have done to someone else that was not right? Some of you walk around with guilt for a lifetime. How could I have done this? I shouldn't have done this. But we see how God, in the life of Joseph, turned this all around and saved a nation at the end. God can take that thing you've done or that thing that's been done to you. These are the moments, ladies, where God wants to come in and through his word, just heal and open up and deliver you. Okay? What is it in your life that's been done to you or you've done to someone else that is still lingering? Because this lingers in your life, it produces of like kind. If this was coming against you and you don't walk in the spirit, you walk in the flesh, you will end up functioning in the very same thing. If you had a favorite sibling, let's take it for an example. You never deal with that. Chances are your children will tell us, my mom has a favorite sibling. It kind of just, sin just does that. It produces in like kind. So just give it to God. Here's another place we find the word envy. In Acts 17 verse 5, talks about, but the Jews were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Jason housed Paul and the preachers of the day. So here's the story. Paul was preaching Jesus in the city of Thessalonica. I can say that. And he was preaching and a lot of people were saved. A lot of people came to the knowledge of Christ, but there were some Jews whose hearts were hard. And of all things, the Bible says they became envious. And see, envy doesn't run alone. Envy only so long, and it produces action. Sin. Okay? So they chased him out of the city. So Paul moved on. The Bible says he moved on. He went to Berea from there, preached in Berea, and he didn't have any resistance there. But the previous cities, people heard about it, so they followed him to Berea and got evil people and you know, just stirred them up against Paul. And here's Paul in Berea. You know what Paul did? He just moved on to the next city. He went to Athens. And I looked at this and I said, wow, that is amazing. You know, there are two sides. It's the one that envies, and that's really what we're talking about because the Bible says love does not envy. We are in sin if we envy. But on the other hand, it is kind of the victim or the recipient of the envy also. And there was Paul. If you are that person who have been mistreated in any way, shape, or form, you know, look at Paul. He just moved on. How cool is that? Isn't that so cool? I mean, it was preaching, it was about Jesus. He could have gone to war and say, let's just take out these Jews, let me get my army together and shoot them all because this is the word of God. He didn't do that. He just got this resistance and people wanted to kill him, so he just moved on. And he did what God called him to do. They followed him. And then, yang, 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 I'm gonna kill you. And he just like, okay, and he moved on to the next city. And he did what some of you need to seriously move on this morning. Seriously, move on. Sometimes it's physical. You need to move on. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's your living situation. It's your relationships. It's saying no to sin. It's saying no, no, no. No ring, no fling, right? That's just very clear. That is just cool how that always gets the reaction of all us girls. Man, what is it that makes you stay in those places where life doesn't work for you? But I can't hear you now, God. Where are you? You know, and you are dabbling. So God is saying, daughter, move on. I got you covered. How many of you needed to hear that? Move on. I've got you covered. All right. So last one here, we see in James. Let's go to James. James 4 verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from desires for pleasure that war in your members? We talked about that. We have issues. We have issues with the flesh and the world and the things of this world that constantly pulls you over. So ladies, if you do not come to Girlfriends Bible Study, you do not come to church, you do not come where the corporate anointing is, you forsake the assembling together, do you know what is happening to you? You are drifting, and you are drifting, and you are drifting. This is the will of God, that we should come together and stay strong. And this is how to do this, so that the pleasures of this world don't suck us into sin. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Oh, my word. We talk about coveting. The Bible says, look in your Bible. You murder and covet. It's used in the same sentence as murder. It's not okay. God is saying any covetousness, any jealousy causes strife. It is not the will of God. This thing is stronger than what you think. If you don't deal with it, it will take you out. It has the power. Whether you are the one in sin or on the receiving end, you will go down if you do not deal with this. And the Bible is clear how to. You fight, you war. Anybody have fights and wars in their relationships? You do not have because you do not ask. And sometimes you ask, but you ask amiss so that you may spend it on your pleasures. I want to just tell you a quick story. Early in ministry, it just kind of came to my mind. Right after seminary, my husband and I were called, you know, to come to the United States. And friends of ours, we had friends that went into the ministry, and they put up their homes with beautiful furniture. They became pastors of the churches. And this very good friend of ours, you know, he just had the most beautiful home. Beautiful things. New cars. And the better things went for them, the more in the flesh I got. Because God, are you kidding me, Lord? When nobody sees, are you kidding me, Lord, in my heart? This is not right. I left my country and my home. My husband is a student in the United States. We live off of bread three times a day. We drive a car that cost us less than $600. We live in an old apartment and blah, 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 blah. Right? And I got to a point where I couldn't take it anymore. And I went to God on my knees. I was like, I was going to seriously going to take this to God. And tell God he's got favorites. Why are these people driving those new cars and living in that nice house? And I'm sitting here in a strange land and poor me and all of that stuff we justify things with. And you know, it was, well, not all moments go like this. But I went to my room, my closet, and I fell on my knees and I'm like, oh God. And you know, instantly God spoke to me and he said, it's my will that he will prosper. I'm like, okay, this cannot be God. This cannot possibly be God. This is not fair, God. And God continued to speak to me. He says, I love them. I am prospering them. Why do you look at that? It is my will that they should prosper. I had to, boy, it was a hard thing for me to learn. It was really difficult for me early in ministry to learn not to look at someone else, but look at that person that you can easily envy and you can easily covet because they just seem to have it all. You know what? Deal with it. It's the will of God. It is the will. What is a house? What is a new car? The first time ever we bought a house with a swimming pool. Never had a house with a swimming pool. And one day I was just sitting at the pool with my feet hanging in the water, and it was within this last year, and I just looked around. I said, wow, God, I have a house at the pool. It just hit me. This is beautiful. pool has been redone. The water is aqua clean. Big pool. I was just overwhelmed. I said, wow, God, thank you for blessing me. And you know what God said to me? It's just how God speaks, just sometimes the funniest thing. Dropped in my heart, God says, to me, it's just a drop of water. And it's like, why do we get hung up on things? It is the will of God that all of you should prosper. But you know what? You have to run in your lane. Not just because interfering with other people in their race. But listen to this. Ladies, take this home. If you don't run in your lane, you constantly want the washing machine somebody else just got. You know what I'm talking about. The TV somebody else just got. You know, the babies, the whatever. The sad thing to me is when you run in everybody else's lane, your lane is empty. You have a lane to run in. And your lane is not your sisters, not your brothers, not your neighbors, not your friends. Your lane is your lane. Why don't you say, my lane is my lane. My lane is my lane. And if I don't stay in my lane is open. All the purposes and all the gifts and all the talents and all the future and the destiny and everything God has for me, the power He wants to give me to run my race the way He intended for me to run it is now aborted. It's now dead. It's now gone. You cannot be like someone else. Listen, I've tried coloring my hair many different colors. I could just not be like anybody else. You can just be you. And God is saying, no matter what you think of yourself, I love you exactly the way you are now. And I love you exactly where you are now. I love you in whatever is going on in your life. I love you. And I'm calling you back to your lane and say, Lord, I'm going to run my lane with the power and the love of God in my life. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead. The same power that formed those cells into a heart. The same power that keeps the sun burning in the sky like that. The same power that made everything fit together is the power that I'm going to step into. And God, I'm just going to run in my lane and not be distracted. That is the will of God for your life. God is jealous. That same scripture says, God is jealous. What is it that you are jealous of? Let me just confront you a little bit. You know what it is. You know that one thing. You can take everything, but that one thing makes you stumble and makes you fall. It's something you see, something you hear. Just, man, gets you every time. Steals your joy. Gets you off track. I wish I could do that. I wish I hadn't done that. If I could only be, why can't it be? Those are the things that God is saying, deal with it, daughter. Deal with it. Deal with it. Come home. Come home. Come back. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And He will lift you up, the Bible says. It says, do not speak evil of others in the same scripture. Mother Teresa says, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. Can you judge and covet and love at the same time? You can't. You can't. Parade itself. Love does not parade itself. Do you know what a parade looks like? Here are the symptoms of that. If you now say again, as I'm going to read this list of things, and you say, Yes, of course. That's Mary. I'm Mary, wherever you are, it's not you. That's Mary. Oh, yeah, I know that one. I know somebody who has that problem. And I read another, and you may say, oh, yeah, I can tag that. Listen, all these things, you can make nice sticky tags and go tag it on other people's foreheads. Come home. Come back to your lane. Come back. Seriously. We don't even know we do this stuff. Let's listen to this in your own lane, okay? Do all conversations need to be about you? My day, my deeds, my feelings, my needs. I can do it. I can do it better. Let me do it. I love you and do for you so I can get to look good. How can I serve you? What can I do for you to make me look good? You keep track of my love deeds to use it, parade it when I need to. You don't parade? It's like, I did that thing for you and now I need you and you're not here for me. That's parading. Sulking when I'm not the center of attention. Can't stand listening to another one's story. Don't interrupt me. Don't change the topic. Or talk about you. Let me stay on my story for goodness sakes. When I pray, I need to use certain words to impress others. Let's go to Matthew 6 for that. Do you constantly feel you have to defend and justify yourself? These are some of the symptoms. Let's look at the Bible. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, nor the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, and that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. Listen, the sad thing is, all of this parading takes tremendous effort and energy, and it brings zero nothing in return. It exhausts you to keep your name a certain way, to parade your love in front of everybody, rather than doing your unique life and your unique lane. Many examples in the Bible of people who had all the reason to parade themselves and never did. Puffed up. Okay. Puffed up. I should have had a picture of a puffer up fish, you know. As fish, cute little fish swimming when danger comes, whoop, they just puff up. Some of us are like that. We're pretty and we're so friendly and we're just so happy, you know. But oh boy, just don't push my buttons. I love you. Don't mess with me. I love you, but don't go there. And when somebody goes there, it's like, and it's like, who is this person? I have thought that of myself sometimes. I react in a certain way, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, who was that? That was definitely not me. But something happened inside of me that I just felt I had to puff myself up to justify in response. I'm better than you. Look at me. Loving self. The word is arrogance, pride, haughty. It's mentioned 200 times in the New International Version. Here are a couple scriptures. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord and will not go unpunished. God says he hates a proud look. Mark 7:20 says, he went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For it is from within, out of the person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and it defiles you. 2 Timothy 2:3, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, pride, blasphemers, disobedient to the parents, unthankful, unholy, go on and on and on, all these horrible things, and envy and jealousy and being puffed up and haughty is right in there. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Philippians 2:3. Let's just let the Bible explain itself here. Luke 14:11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Anybody experienced that? That hurts. That really hurts. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. 1 Peter 5:5. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now listen, think about that God that created the sun that keeps it burning. Keeps it the same right distance away from earth. That makes that little ball of cells go poof and they become organs. And go poof and this baby can see. And go poof and she goes into adolescence. Go poof and she is ready to have her own babies. Go poof one day and it's like, why am I so hot? Whew! If you haven't been there, you will be there. Someday. If you live long enough, you will experience it. And all of that was in that egg and that sperm when it came together. Exactly the day you're going to have your first hot flush. This God is saying that created the heavens and the earth. He says, the pride, I will oppose you. I will resist you. I will stop you. That is a fearful place. It's how the kingdom of this world works. You push and you go for it and you steamroll over everybody. You promote yourself. You lift up yourself. You puff up yourself. Because if you don't, the world says, you're weak. And if you function in this humility we're talking about, the world look at you and say, what's wrong with you? Can you not stand up on your own feet? Just defend yourself a little bit. I'm sure they said that about Jesus too. How do we do this? Your answer is in 1 John. How do we stay in this? And we're not going to get to all this. So I want to invite you to go home and read 1 John. Okay? Read 1 John. It says here, 1 John 2. Let's go 1 John 2 verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Isn't that beautiful? Number one here, ladies, keep the word of God. And the love of God shall be perfected in you. By this we know that we are in him. By this love also the world will know that Jesus is the Son of God. Think about that. Maybe it's time you stop nagging your family members to be saved and come to church. And just start living this love. Because this love of God is more powerful than any kind of nagging. Threats. You want to sleep with me? You come to church. This is after you're married, I mean. Yeah, I just want to clarify this. If you come to church with me, I'll sleep with you, but I'm not married to you. No, no, no. Okay, settle that. Stop it. Stop it. It's destroying your life. But some of you are married and you manipulate. You know what I'm talking about. So, the Bible says it's not by manipulation or threats or puffing yourself up, promoting yourself that the world will know. The world will know when you live in this power of this love. Okay? Keep the word. Walk as Jesus walked. 1 John 2 verse 6. Check this out. He who says he abides in him ought to himself also walk as he walked. Go back. It says, by this we know that we are in him. In verse 5. See that? And then verse 6 says, he who says he's in him also has to walk as he walked. Verse 9 says, he who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Wow. How powerful is this? How powerful is this? Then 1 John 2 verse 15. Let's look at that. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So do not fall in love with the world and the things of the world. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Okay? Fourth thing and last, 1 John 3, verse 10. Let's just skip. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Okay, now we're getting serious. Who is calling who children of the devil? This is uncomfortable. So my fourth point is, be not of the devil. It's just like, oh, what right do you have to tell me that? I'm including myself in here, okay? It says, 1 John 3 verse 10, are manifest, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Okay. Serious. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We're talking about loving the way God loved. Not in pride and boast, parade, wanting what you have, but in humility, humbling yourself in the sight of God. Resist the devil. Humble yourself. And God's power will manifest in you. Here are some words, and I'm closing with this, of Mother Teresa, who is just, we could look at her life and it just simply blows you away, how she loved Jesus. Look at how she holds that baby. That's an orphan baby, born and raised on the streets, a lot of them dying. And she says, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. So just hold that up there. Some of you sitting here and say, what does my life matter? What does it really matter when I love the way God loves? Listen, it is true that it is like a drop in the ocean when you love the people in your world. It may feel to you like that. But Mother Teresa also says, it is like a drop in the ocean, but without that drop, the ocean will not be the same. Here is what she said about humility. There are a few ways we can practice humility. To speak as little as possible of oneself. Oh, no. I like talking about myself, and I want everybody to listen. To mind one's own business. How boring is that, right? No. Just get some action in your own life and leave others alone, right? Not to want to manage other people's affairs, but I'm the mother. He's 35. To avoid curiosity. To accept contradictions and corrections cheerfully. If I do something for God, you stay out of it. I'm doing the right thing. To pass over the mistakes of others. To accept insults and injuries. To accept being slighted, forgotten, disliked, and overlooked. To be kind and gentle, even when you are provoked. Okay, I can love, I can be kind, but when I'm provoked, I have permission to go in another box. Just for a second. I'll come out of it, but before I come out of it, I was just going to tell you the way it is. Never to stand on one's dignity, to choose always the hardest. It's not easy. It's counterintuitive. It is not normal with a fleshly body to walk in this, but please remember that it is the creator of the universe, the sun, moon, the stars, the oceans, the eye, the heart, the little fetus coming from just one cell. It's the same God that is inviting you and say, you can have the the same power. Because Jesus says, these things I have done, but I go to my Father, and I'm sending you the Holy Spirit that you can do these things and greater things. So I just want to pray with you. Just close your eyes. God, we are in awe that you would send your Son to die for us. That's literally just going to go back to dust. But when you created God, you created us in your image. And you are love. So help us, Lord, to just somehow see how amazingly you made us. How amazingly you made us that we can actually, in you, contain this love to bring to a world around us. So we submit ourselves, God. We resist the devil and all his schemes in the name of Jesus in every life. We submit ourselves to you, God. And you shall give us the victory. Just keep your eyes closed.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.